All right, now I want to briefly tell you about the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and what I did with that. Those are the only two feasts I'm going to look at in a little more detail. I always did a lot on this beautiful Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Of course, it's the feast of our country. She's the patroness of our country, so that's very special. Of course, also, it's a bit of a hard concept to explain to children. And Immaculate Conception, of course, I teach them that immaculate means really, really clean, really pure, completely white. You know, if someone says your bedroom is immaculate, it means everything's perfectly in place. And so she was immaculate. And then what I say about conception, I say is the first moment you begin to grow inside of your mother. And so she was pure and holy from the first moment she began to grow inside of her mother, Saint Anne. And I also explained, though, that although the church scripture talks about her being full of grace, and way back the saints talked about her being without, they also have to know about original sin. They need to know that we are all born with original sin, the sin of Adam and Eve. But Our Lady, she was conceived without that sin. And then I explained that saints and the fathers of the church talked about this, but until 1854, the Pope did not proclaim that it was a dogma that we must believe that Mary was conceived without original sin. Now, then I talk about two beautiful appearances, apparitions of Our Lady, which teach about the Immaculate Conception. And the first was in 1830. So I show the children that's 24 years before the dogma was proclaimed. She appeared to St. Catherine Laboureille and gave her the miraculous medal, which we know says around the outside, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. And it actually was called at first the Medal of the Immaculate Conception, but so many miracles happened from it that it was called the Miraculous Medal. And I tell the story, which is just beautiful, about how she gave it to Catherine Laboureille, and then the whole vision turned and showed the back of the medal, and that then they had it made. And then I get them very excited, because I go, I have this medal that Our Lady gave to St. Catherine Laboureille, and I have one for all of you. And they're all very excited. And on that day, I give them a miraculous medal. But then we continue on, and I teach them about Lourdes. Not everything, because we're going to also talk about Lourdes on February 11th on that feast day. But I teach them that she appeared to Bernadette, and Bernadette kept asking her name. And finally, when Our Lady revealed who she was, she looked up to heaven and said, I am the Immaculate Conception. That was 4 years after the Pope proclaimed it a dogma. And so it shows how pleased and how happy Our Lady was that the church recognized this beautiful privilege that she had received at the first moment of her existence. And then also I teach the children that Mary had this wonderful gift at her conception, but we receive the same gift at our baptism. Our original sin is taken away, all our sins are taken away, and it's a very great gift, our baptism. So each of the feasts teach us about our faith. You need to know, of course, background in order to teach the children. That's why spiritual reading, praying with scripture, and just knowing our faith helps you. A couple other quick ideas that I've done. The baptism of the Lord is a nice day right before that to review and renew our baptismal vows. Go to church and get a little holy water. You know, have them either make bottles with them or have them bring a little nice bottle from home and have them take home holy water. On the Epiphany, I actually didn't give my students their Christmas gift till after Christmas vacation, and I did it in honor of the Epiphany. So I would give them three little gifts that would represent gold, frankincense, and myrrh. To make feast day specials, just use stories, pictures, gifts, or treats. No more background than is, if you can, no more than is in a little children's book, because you can make it much more exciting. You know, we don't only know what's in a child science book to teach them about what they're learning in science. So it's not going to be as effective if you're only able to tell them what's in a, you know, second grade or or third grade book or in a little paragraph. So if you can get some background, even by watching movies or whatever, you're going to get them excited about what's happening. Now, you can also use a DVD, you know, show them a movie on a feast day. There are some great half-hour movies about some of these things. If you're in a Catholic school, like Our Lady of Fatima, The Day the Sun Danced, that's a great one. There's one for Lourdes, Juan Diego. There's another one on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Those are fine if they're not too long. I never like taking too much teaching time for just watching a movie, but those are really well done. And then you sort of celebrate the feast by watching a movie. In the old days, we had film strips, which I really enjoyed because they were very short, and they would get the sense of the feast. So if you have access still to film strips, but probably no one does, those are a nice way to celebrate feasts as well. All right, and in a religious education program, you might show an occasional movie, but your time is so limited that I really think it's better just to tell the story briefly rather than take a whole half hour to show the movie, because they need to learn their content and they have so little time to learn the faith. So that's all right. These are just ways to celebrate your feast days.